Tonight, 2 Kings chapter 15, let's look at the first five verses. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Ahaziah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He was the second longest reigning king of the land of Judah. Save that of the high places, it says in verse 4, save that of the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. And the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land. What we have here tonight is King Uzziah. His name is said as Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And in 2 Kings chapter 15, his name is Ahaziah. It's the same person, just different spellings phonetically of his name. And as we're studying the wells of living water tonight, it might seem strange tonight, this lesson, this message tonight in our study, but believe me, there's a well there. There's many wells there. And they're called the wells of prosperity. But in a play or as in a story or in a drama, you have the main characters, you have the star and the co-stars, and then you have the supporting characters. And then you have a lot of other characters that are the extras. They might just have a glimpse, fleeting moment in this drama or in this play or in this story. Well, the wells of prosperity tonight are like those extras in the drama. They are there, believe me, we'll touch on them tonight. But the general theme of this lesson tonight, as we continue this study, is still the wells. And they are an example of wells of prosperity in the land of Judah and of King Uzziah tonight. So as we look at these wells of prosperity, they are byproducts of God's blessings of prosperity upon King Uzziah. And they symbolize God's goodness to him. And they also characterize the king as sharing his blessings of God with others. Prosperity is defined several ways. Prosperity is defined as advance or gain in anything good or desirable. It can also be defined as successful progress in any business or enterprise. Attainment of the object desired, or the condition of being successful or thriving. We all want to prosper. We all want to have prosperity in our lives. Is it through our health or through our business transactions, through our mental capacity and our thinking capacity and our emotions? We all want to prosper. But God shows us through the Word of God how to be prosperous. And He shows us through the life and the example of King Uzziah. Now, if all we had was these five verses in 2 Kings 15, we would not know much about King Uzziah. We would say his name is Ahaziah. He had a long reign. He started reigning at 16 years old. He reigned for 52 years. And he left the high places where they burnt incense and gave sacrifices to other gods. He did not remove those. And then he was a leper, cursed by God. It's like, what happened to King Ahaziah? What happened to King Uzziah? What happened in that 52 years? How did he reign so long when God still judged him? Well, praise the Lord, it's not the only occurrence of this king. If we have in our Bibles 1 and 2 Kings, and we have also in our Bibles 1 and 2 Chronicles, the books of 1 and 2 Kings were written from a king perspective. So you have the king of Israel, the king of Judah, the king of Israel, the king of Judah, the king of Israel, the king of Judah, back and forth, through the books of King, 1st and 2nd Kings. And it's from that perspective of royalty of a king. Then you get to the books of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and not every king that's mentioned in 1st and 2nd Kings, they're not all mentioned in Chronicles. What we basically have in the book of Chronicles is a priestly viewpoint of the kings. And so what we have here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 is the priestly viewpoint of King Uzziah. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 32 says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them." But it goes on and says, "And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." King Uzziah was very prosperous, as we shall see, but he was a fool, and it's going to destroy him. You know, during the Klondike gold rush, the story is told of two miners. After striking this large deposit of gold, the two miners were so excited about unearthing more and more gold each day that they neglected to store up provisions for the coming winter. Then came the first blizzard. Nearly frozen, one of the miners started scribbling on a note, explaining their foolishness. Then he lay down and died, having come to his senses too late. Months later, a prospecting party discovered the note and the miners as their frozen bodies lay on top of a huge pile of gold. Obsessed with their treasure, these two miners hadn't taken into account that the fair weather wouldn't last and winter was coming. Hypnotized by their wealth, they failed to prepare for their imminent future. That gold that seemed such a blessing proved to be a deadly curse. Joseph Heller was the author of the novel Catch-22, a satirical look at World War II. He was once, it's told, at a dinner party in the Hamptons, and one of his friends came over and pointed to a young man that was in the dinner party crowd. He was a young 25-year-old, and his friend came over to the author and said, "This gentleman over here works for a big hedge fund company, and he has made more money last year than you will ever make in all the books you write combined." Well, Joseph Heller said, "Maybe so. But I have one thing that man will never have." His friend says, "Really?" Skeptically. "What is that? What is that one thing? I need to know." The author said, "I have enough. I have enough." Compare those to the words of John D. Rockefeller when asked, "How much money does it take to make a man happy?" And John D. Rockefeller said, "Just one more dollar." The foolishness of prosperity will destroy you. From these miners, we can see that. From the wise words of the author of Catch-22, we need to be content with what we have. Not be a John D. Rockefeller and say, "I need another, I need another, I need another." Prosperity is a blessing from God. But how do we react to it is the question. The son of Amaziah, Uzziah, was 16 years old. And he was made king by the people of Judah. In 2 Kings 15, he is called Azariah, and Isaiah was the key prophet of his day. Hosea was also there on the scene as a prophet of God. And Amos was also there as a prophet of God. And we have another prophet of God named Zechariah, which is another Zechariah. He is not the one of the penman, author of the minor prophet by that name. He is another Zechariah. And Zechariah played a key role in the upbringing of this 16-year-old on the throne. He pointed him towards God. He pointed him towards the good of his father. He pointed him towards what is how you prosper in the Lord. So the reign of Uzziah was largely characterized by the good he did in the sight of the Lord. His godliness was rewarded with prosperity and a 52-year reign. Yet Uzziah came to the throne in a difficult time. Following the tragic events of his father's end of his reign and his death, Jerusalem was in disarray. A major section of the wall of Jerusalem has been destroyed. Those marauding bands and armies had invaded Jerusalem, had invaded the Temple Mount, had invaded the temple, and taken out all the treasures of the temple of God. And on their way out of the city, they took hostages with them. This is the scene that Uzziah is getting ready to step in as a 16-year-old. Uzziah seems to have come, though, to the throne by a way of unordinary succession. He came by the direct choice of the people. Look with me in 2 Chronicles tonight, chapter 26, at verse number 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. The people of Judah took him and made him king. This is unusual in Israel. This is not how it's typically done. The princes, though, if we went back to study what happened and why he's the only one, if we went back and studied it in chapter 24 of 2 Chronicles, we would see that the princes of the family had been destroyed and killed by the Syrians at the close of his grandfather's reign, Josiah. And now all the people of Judah take Uzziah, a 16-year-old, and says, he is our next king. Without these 23 verses in 2 Chronicles 26, we would have very limited or no knowledge of the character of Uzziah, nor of any of the events of his 52-year-old reign. Within the 23 verses of 2 Chronicles 26, we have a summary of King Uzziah's youthful reign, he is guided by Zechariah. We have a summary of his prosperity that was given by God as he is obedient and faithful. And lastly, we have a summary of his sinful attitude and turning from God and his subsequent death. So let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26 a little closer tonight. Beginning in verse number 3, we're going to see Uzziah's piety, his religiousness, if you will. Look with me in verse 3. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, this is the key, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So Zechariah has this understanding of the visions of God. And Zechariah has been given the religious and moral training of this young king to say, this is the way you need to go. And if you do this, God's going to bless you. And if you do this and you're obedient and faithful, God will prosper you. He was not overly zealous of religious reform. Yet he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. We saw in 2 Kings 15, though, he did not do something that his father did not even do. He did not remove the high places where sacrifices were offered and burning of incense were allowed. But he kept up the pure worship of God. He kept up the true, one true God. And he said, "This is Jehovah God," as his father did. And he was better than his father because never in recorded history do we have Uzziah worshiping an idol. He never succumbs to idolatry in his life. He was surrounded by strong, faithful men who believed and worshiped God and who would guide him in truth, the truth. So Uzziah was religious and he did have a relationship with God, but he wasn't overly zealous to get rid of the high places, but he did not worship idols. But then we see the main part of this chapter is talking about his prosperity, how God had blessed him. Now we have to understand why God blessed him. God blessed him because what it says at the end of verse 5, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So the prosperity is from God. So Uzziah's prosperity is from verse 5 through verse 15 of this chapter. And in general, as long as he sought God and minded his godly counselors, God allowed him to prosper. Prosperity was God's gift to Uzziah's faithfulness. And there's several instances of his prosperity mentioned, and it takes the majority of this chapter. They're talking about first in verse 6 of his prosperity and success of warfare. Notice with me in verse 6, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines. And he brake down the walls of Gath, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians, and dwelt in Gerbal, and the Mehunians. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. The Bible says he triumphed over the Philistines. Now the Philistines have been the old enemies of God's people for ages. And God gave Uzziah success in warfare against the Philistines. So much so that he broke down the walls of Gath. Remember Gath? Goliath was from Gath. He walled up in the walls of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod. And it was so much that he built cities around the Philistine cities. He triumphed over the Philistines. He demolished their fortifications. He demolished their cities. He put garrisons of his own around their cities. And then it says he made the Ammonites to pay tribute, monetary gifts back to Jerusalem. He made all of his enemies and God's enemies and the land of Judah's enemies to be quiet and held in awe at his success in warfare. But that was a gift from God of his prosperity. He also had prosperity in his greatness of reputation. Again, verse 8, it says, and his name spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. His name was celebrated throughout all the neighboring countries, or feared. It was a good name. It was a name for good things because God was prospering his greatness of reputation. He had true fame and honorable fame. But it goes on even further and says he was a builder. He was a builder, a wonders of building. And verse 9 it says, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains. Husbandmen also and vine-dressers in the mountains and Carmel, for he loved husbandry. While he acted as the offensive to go against God's enemies all abroad in all the neighboring countries, he did not neglect the defense of his own kingdom. Those walls that had been damaged by his enemies of his father, he has gotten victory over those enemies, and now he's going to repair the walls of Jerusalem. And not only will he repair them, but he's going, the Bible says, fortify them, strengthen them. He is not neglecting his own kingdom. Much of the wall of Jerusalem in his father's time had been broken down, particularly at the corner gate. But his best fortification of Jerusalem wasn't walls. It wasn't towers. His best fortification that King Uzziah did at home was to worship God, to keep that true worship of God going at the temple. For he knew if he honored God, if he obeyed God, if he remained faithful to God, then God would bless him, prosper him. As he builds the fortifications, as he worships God, he also goes outside of the city and he goes into the countryside. He has fortified the city, he has rebuilt the city and the walls and defenses and structures and the towers. But he fortifies not just the city, he goes into the country and he builds towers in the desert, it says in verse 10, or in the wilderness, to protect the people that lived in the country from the plunderers and from the marauders and from the bandits that would come in from time to time, to take the cattle, to take the herds, to take the crops. They would have a safe haven in these towers. Garrisons of troops would be stationed in these towers. He built towers for defense. But then the Bible says in verse 10, he had wells dug. Notice that he digged many wells in the country to provide not just for the inhabitants of the country. These wells aren't for him. They're for the inhabitants of the country. He is sharing God's prosperity with others. He is saying, I am so blessed, let me share it with others. And those not just in Jerusalem, but those all around my kingdom. So he dug many wells to provide for those inhabitants, but also for their flocks, and also for their herds, and also for the vineyards, and all those things. And it says something very interesting at the end of verse 10. It says, for he loved husbandry. Now, husbandry for farmers is understanding he loved the things of the farm, not just the crops and not just the animals. He loved it all. He loved the country life. King Uzziah dealt much in cattle. He dealt much in the herds and the crops and employed many hands and got much wealth by his dealings in these endeavors. But remember, this is a sign of his prosperity from God. As long, the Bible says in verse 5, as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Not just in one aspect, but in multiple aspects of his kingdom. The Bible gives us this clue of his character that he loved husbandry. He understood warfare. He understood defenses. He understood caring for his people. But he loved the farm. He inspected, I'm sure, the crops and the cattle and the herds. Can you imagine the king of Judah who loved husbandry? I think David would have been proud. Remember David the shepherd? He did not delight in war. It was just an act of what he had to do as king. Nor did he addict himself to sport or to pleasure, but delighted in the innocent and the quiet employment of the farm, of husbandry. He also prospered in wisdom. He prospered in wisdom of strategy, of defense for his nation. Notice verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jeiel the scribe, and Maaseiah the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. And the whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. That doesn't sound like a large army, 2,600, but keep reading. And under their hand, these were the mighty men, these were the captains, the chiefs. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. His wisdom and strategy of defense of his nation was like, I need an army. I need an army that will not be succumbed to the enemies of our land. I need an army that will not turn and run when they see the enemy. But I also need an army at home to defend us and prepare the defenses for the countryside. So he had this grand army, and it had two main divisions. He had a host for fighting, for warfare, that made excursions outside of its country's borders when needed. They went to war, the verse says in verse 11, they went to war by bands, by armies, by divisions, they went to war outside of their lands. They brought in spoil from the neighboring countries by way of retaliation for the attacks that had taken place upon Judah in his lifetime, in his father's lifetime, and in his grandfather's lifetime. He had great wisdom and strategy. But then he also had a division of his army that was a host of guards for his garrisons and for the cities. They were ready to defend the country in case it should be invaded, verses 12 and verses 13. So great were their number and valor that they made war with mighty power, the Bible says. No enemy dare face them, or at least stand before them. Men unarmed can do little in warfare, could they? So he had wisdom again in the defenses of giving them the proper needed weapons. Look at verse 14. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he didn't stop there. He went further. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was a marvelously helped till he was strong. What a king who had been prospered by God, because as long as he sought the Lord, God was going to prosper him, to bless him. We can see that he prospered in warfare and success. He prospered in the greatness of his reputation. He prospered in the wonders as a builder. He prospered in husbandry and in the farm. And he prospered in the wisdom of strategy of defense. What a tremendous list this is of God's blessings. Every facet of his kingdom and of his reign was blessed by God. But what happened? What happened to King Uzziah, the second longest king in the land of Judah, behind Manasseh, who reigned 55 years? What happened to this king who was so blessed by God? Well, remember verse 5, as long as he sought the Lord. Notice verse 16 how it begins. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. He transgressed against God. I thought he was supposed to seek the Lord. Yes. Here is the one blot we find on the name of King Uzziah. And it's such a one as lies not on any other king of Judah. No other king of Judah had this transgression against God and who was judged by God. Most kings of Israel, all those kings were evil and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And most of the kings of Judah did that which was right in the eyes of God. But they were still sinners. They were not perfect. We would see if we went through all these kings of Israel and many of the kings of Judah, we would see many of these sins. And God had to judge their sin. Whoredom, murder, oppression, persecution, and especially idolatry. Those are blemishes on every one of King of Israel's bad kings. And on many of the good ones of the land of Judah, even David. But we find none of these sins characterize King Uzziah's downfall. He is not charged by God for any of these crimes, any of these sins. Yet, he transgressed, he sinned against the Lord his God. What did he do? Notice again the end of verse 16. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. This is not a king's responsibility. This is not a king's duties. This is the priest's duties. And this is set up by the law of God. If we would continue to read, we would see 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, stood up against the king. God strikes him down with leprosy, and he ends a miserable, miserable life. Ignored for the most part, banished. He tries to invade the priestly office and assume their roles. He's like, I can't do anything wrong. Everything I touch prospers. Let me go into the priestly office and go and assume their duties and let's bless that and see God prosper that. No, that's not God's plan for him. He was prideful. Obedience to God is not a one-time act. Obedience to God is a lifelong action. It is not the flash in a pan type of obedience, but one that continues through our lives to the very calling of us home by Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, Uzziah is just another example of one who starts well but finishes in disgrace. At 16, he took the throne. He was moldable. He was dependable. God entrusted much to him and it flourished. Everything he touched flourished. He had tremendous success because he trusted in his God. He was a successful warrior. He was a successful builder. He did well at organizing and delegating responsibilities. But something began to happen. He took his eyes off God and put them on himself. Through his growing accomplishments, his heart grows cold and filled itself with pride. Much like the disease that eventually overtook his body, the pride of his heart began to grow and to spread as well. Not only on the outside was it evident through the disease, but decisions he made revealed the disease of his ego and his self-sufficiency. Destruction would soon come. One writer draws much of what happened to King Uzziah all the way back to his lack of one thing. Every time he was prospering, every time he would go to another endeavor, another action, another thing that God had him do, no matter what it was, building, farming, defense of the nation, wisdom needed for actions, delegating work and responsibilities to his people, going out and taking care of the marauding crew and the plunderers and the bandits and protecting his people and providing them water in the desert and the wilderness. Everything that he touched prospered. Yet there is never a mention of him being thankful. There is never anywhere in the scriptures that says King Uzziah thanked God. He just took it and took it and took it. We had a preacher here not too long ago that said, we always say, God bless, God bless, God bless. Why don't we turn it around and say, bless God, bless God, bless God. It all goes back to his attitude of ungratefulness, of unthankfulness. Nowhere in these passages does it reveal that he had a grateful heart for all that God had allowed him to do. Instead, verse 16 shows the pride of his heart. Instead, the good things he was able to do through the help of God became the catalyst for wrong thinking that he was the one in control. Look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. Successes were owned by him, not giving credit back to God. Oh my. An ungrateful heart is a groundwork for the root of pride to take place. It's the place where attitudes change. Sadly for Uzziah, he is not remembered for the great reforms. He's not remembered for the prosperity of everything he touched prospered. He's not remembered as a great religious ruler of King of Judah. Sadly, we remember he was a leper and he was ignored. He was a living example of a king who should have had a lifelong call to obedience. My, he owed God so much. And he should have been obedient till death. And yet, he turned and said, look what I have done. Remember verse 5? As long as he sought the Lord. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. Does any of what we're talking about tonight resonate with us tonight? How much time do we spend in prayer thanking God for all he's done for us? How much of our intercessory prayers to God is for getting us out of some situation rather than saying, God, I'm open and moldable to whatever I'm facing that you're taking me through? You know, many times when all is said and done, people remember the things we've done, but what sticks is the outcome of our life when it's all said and done. Meaning, will you be remembered for your faithful, lifelong obedience to God or for your turn to downfall of self and pride? Will your wells of prosperity cause you to thank the Lord or take credit for them? That's what this chapter is about. I know the wells are a minor player in this chapter. But my, if we could just pull one thing out of this chapter to remind us not to take credit for it. King Uzziah didn't put the water in those wells. God did. King Uzziah did not get the strength of those diggers to dig the wells. God did. King Uzziah did not give the air to breathe for those diggers of those wells. God did. The stones that would be set up to mark the well so no one would fall in it and give them a defense around the well. King Uzziah did not make those stones. God did. The intelligence and understanding of how to dig a well or where to dig a well, King Uzziah didn't give those men that. God did. The wells of prosperity in our lives should cause us to think, am I going to take credit for it or am I going to thank God for them? My, we are all been blessed. We all have been prospered by God. And it is definitely a gift of God. What are those wells of prosperity going to do for you? There's a hymn that we sing here often. It's a familiar hymn, but listen and read the words tonight as we go through them verse by verse. Trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. That's 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 5. And with all who will trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says, we will do. Where He sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And the refrain goes on and says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. What are your wells of prosperity going to cause you to do? To thank God or to take credit for them? Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this minor character of these wells of prosperity that You've showed us tonight. King Uzziah is an example of us what not to do in our later years. You have put godly counselors and leaders in our lives to mold us and to shape us into the individuals and Christians You want us to be. And my, as we seek You, You bless us and prosper us. We are so blessed. But Lord, help us to take account and inventory of everything You have blessed us with. And help us never to take credit for those things, but to say, Lord, it's only because of You. It's all because of You. Let us give You the honor and the praise for them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.